Good afternoon. Are you all there? Okay, are you all there? Yes. How many of you have seen this book, The China Study? How many have read the book? Excellent. Is it a good book? Do you recommend it? If you do, say yes. That was pretty weak. If you recommend it, do you recommend it? Say yes. Yes, okay. This is one of the finest books by one of my personal friends. Authority figure, respected scientist, one of the most honest men in this country, a man of great integrity. This book has been on the bestseller list since 2005. This is a new edition that just came out 2 years ago. This is called The China Study, the Revised and Expanded Edition. I also heard that most of you bought all the books that we had out there called How Not to Die. Is that right? They're all gone. So it tells me that you folks are really very interested in these concepts. And I think, you know, I may have mentioned it to you. I told my wife, this group is much more knowledgeable, really, than any group I have been to in North America when it comes to Adventist camp meetings. Now, I don't say that everywhere I go. I don't. But I found out the secret. The secret is that many of you have attended many of these health seminars over the last several years, and you had some outstanding speakers here, and you have built up an understanding and a foundation for these kind of concepts, which made it so enjoyable for me. And so, are we going to sing now? No. Okay. So we have some questions here. I have about 45 questions. We have about half an hour to go through them, and then we have our lecture here. So let me just go through them fairly rapidly. Dr. Deal, what is tofu? What about tofu? What is tofu? Tofu is soya beans. Is it a processed food? Yes. Should we eat it?
No.
Yes. But in moderation. When people become vegetarians, they think they have to eat now tofu to get their protein. You don't have to worry about that because protein is everywhere when you eat God's foods. But tofu is a nice food to have, especially when you do a stir fry. It's very, very nice. But don't think you have to do it every day, okay? So tofu is a fine product. It's a little refined, of course, but the Chinese have lived on these kind of foods for over 4,000 years. That's a pretty good track record, isn't it? Is it safe to eat agave and maple syrup? And how much should we eat? Eat small amounts, right? It's processed food. Can you eat honey? Some people are worried about honey because it's an animal product. I'm not really worried about it too much. And the question is, how much can we eat? Folks, you know, use your own good sense, right? You have common sense. You know, if you need a half a teaspoon, if you need a teaspoon, if you need 1.5 teaspoons for something, it's fine. Just use it in small amounts and you're just fine. Because you see, you begin to understand that your sweet tooth is becoming less and less powerful in your life. And if you have a sweet tooth that doesn't want to let go of its tyrannization of you, I want you to come and see my son. Because he's a dentist and he can pull that tooth for you. Are non-dairy milks any better for you than cow's milk? Absolutely. When you have almond milk, what do you really have? You can make your own. Don't buy it. Just make your own. Take 10, 15, 20 almonds, put them into one of these Vitamix. And put some water in. And if you want to, put a little bit of vanilla in it and maybe something to sweeten it. You know, there's some little things that you can do. And you have your own almond milk, no problem. You can have soya bean. You can use soya beans. You can make soya bean milk. You can have cashew milk. You can make your own cashew milk. You can have, they have now oats, not goats, oats milk. They have rice milk. I mean, it's all there because people begin to realize that milk is going down the tubes, okay? So let's have a little break here, And I want you to meet a special friend that I want to introduce to you. I met him at the parking lot the other day, and he told me some very interesting things. And I said, why don't you share this with our folks after I give the first questions to the audience? And that gives us a nice intermission where you can think of some more questions to ask. Tell me who you are.
My name is Roger Tice.
You're Roger Tice. Mm-hmm. You have a wonderfully strong voice. You sound more like a minister.
Well, I have been a lay pastor for a number of years.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
And tell me what happened to you.
Well, first of all, a lot of you that know me already see me as a shadow of my former self. 6 months ago, I lost my wife. I'm a widower. And about 4 months ago, it dawned on me that when I get old, I'm not going to have someone to take care of me. So I need to take care of me now. And I went into my kitchen, and when Dr. Deal told about Bob Anderson a couple of days ago, it aroused a memory because I went into my kitchen, and I went to the refrigerator, the freezer, the pantry, and I threw food out left and right. Probably $400 worth of food. Processed food, junk food. I threw away an entire key lime pie and a 3-pound bag of Reese's peanut butter cups. But then there was a second 3-pound bag of them because I had found a BOGO. And so I threw them away. I threw it all out. Sugar drinks, juices, I poured them down the drain. Now, somebody may say, well, why didn't you give that to someone? Well, I'm getting rid of it so it doesn't kill me.
Oh.
And the commandment says, thou shalt not kill. So if I give it away, I'm killing somebody with it. So I got rid of it. And then I started walking 3 miles a day. And between change in diet, and I have not made a total vegan swing all the way, but between change in diet and exercising, I've lost 39 pounds, 4 inches in my waist, 2 suit sizes. And I had to do something about that because I would, as I say, a number of years I've been a lay pastor, and I'd go to a church and preach, and I was wearing my old suits. And they just were like a deflated balloon on me. Looked like 5 families of gypsies had moved out of those suits. And so I had to, ladies, I did what you love to do. I went shopping. And I bought new suits, and I bought new shirts, and I bought new pants. And when I got all those new clothes home, and I put them on, and I looked in a full-length mirror, I realized that I needed new shoes. And so I went and bought new shoes as well. And it didn't cost me $30,000 like Bob. It cost me about $2,000 because all those clothes and shoes, it mounted up. But I feel 40 years younger than what my birth certificate says I'm supposed to be. Now, folks, my parents became Seventh-day Adventists when I was 1 year old. So I've been in this church all my life. And I thought to myself, and I'm thinking to myself now, we've been entrusted as stewards with a health message. And we're not only supposed to be sharing it, we're supposed to be living it. And if you're not a product of the product, well, you know, if I go to buy a car, I'm not going to buy a Ford from a man that drives something different. You know, the first thing I want to see is his keys out of his pocket, and what do you drive? And if he's driving a Yugo trying to sell me a Ford, I'm going with somebody else. And it should be the same with us as Seventh-day Adventist Christians when it comes to health. If we're going to sell it, we ought to wear it.
Thank you very much. Precept and practice need to harmonize. What did you just say? If you want to sell it, you got to wear it. That's quite a challenge for some of us. But folks, you can do it.
Yes.
You can do it. Okay, let me address some of these questions here. What about Nature Valley crunchy oats and honey bars. Nutrition label is 190 calories. It has a nutrition label, right? But it's one of the better products, okay? I mean, we're not saying you cannot have anything that has a nutrition label. But we want to say, as a general principle, try to use products that have nutrition labels occasionally. So this is one of these products. It has 190 calories. Sodium is 180 milligrams. And here's a very special rule. If you want to check out the appropriate product with regard to the salt content, you look for the sodium. Sodium stands for salt, right? And you want to sort of make sure that the sodium number that is given there is about the same as the number of calories that's being given. Then you're fine. So I'll give you an example here. This product has, in these two little bars, it has 190 calories. How much sodium would be max? 190 milligrams. This has 180. Does it sound okay as far as salt is concerned? Yes, it is. It's excellent. 2 grams of fiber, which is okay. It has 3 teaspoons of sugar. Well, you know, you can do that once in a while. I think this is an acceptable product. Table salt versus Himalayan pink salt. Are there any benefits of using this special salt instead of table salt? Yes, there are some. No. If you settle for table salt, you have some benefits there because you save money. There's nothing magic about all these different kinds of salts that they recommend. Himalayan is one of those faddish ideas nowadays. It's true that there's a little bit more of the mineral value in that salt, but it's so minimal, it doesn't override the dangerous aspect of the salt, which is the sodium. It's the sodium molecule that causes the heart high blood pressure. So remember that. If you want to use some Himalayan salt, it's fine. That's the same thing as if you use salt. It just has a little different sophisticated ring. You pay more for it, and it might have a little bit more of the mineral value there, but otherwise, it's the salt, the sodium, that we are concerned about that drives the blood pressure. Blood pressure is 150 over 90. Is it okay? I walk 4 to 5 miles a day. I'm a vegetarian. Well, blood pressure 150 over 90, that is borderline. We used to recommend 120 over 80, which was probably inspired by the pharmaceutical industry. They wanted to drop it as low as possible so that everybody had to be on medication. So now we have recently changed it to 140 over 85 to 90 as being sort of the upper number of normal. And so this 150 over 90, it's getting a little bit of borderline there. But if you are, depending on your age, if you are 67, 80 years of age, I wouldn't worry too much about this. If you are 25 years of age and you have 150 over 90, I would say you better do something about it. Are you with me there?
Yeah.
So 150 over 90, sort of borderline, but nothing really to worry too much about depending on your age. How much salt is okay? What did we say? Most of us consume about 10 grams a day. The government says we should probably go down to 4 grams. 5 grams is the very, very most. You know, I like to see down to the level of 3 or 4 grams a day. And that means that you've got to take care of the salt shaker. But more importantly, you've got to do something about eating out. It's virtually impossible to be healthy eating out. In Rockford, where I had some 3,000 people in the CHIP program, we had 27 restaurants, and they were all certified. They had a CHIP logo in their window. These people worked with us, and there you could feel safe. But in most restaurants, these are high salty foods usually. Let me tell you what I do. I was at the Mayo Clinic to lecture there, and these two professors took me out to eat to one of these fancy restaurants. And then they got cold feet because they realized, we don't want to be the one to order first. Let him be, you're the guest of honor. Why don't you order first? So the lady comes and she gives me all this litany of fancy dishes for the day. And I'm very patient listening to all of that. And I thought to myself, Just cut it out. Just. But I'm very patient, I'm a very lovely person to work with because I am going to make some demands, but I make these demands very subtly and very gently. You never want to be seen as a kind of a pushy kind of a person. They hate you when you come. So I said, I don't know if you can help me. And these two professors look at me kind of funny. I said, I don't know if you can help me. She says, why can't I help you? I said, because I'm on a very special doctor's program. What's a doctor's program like? Well, I have a doctor that tells me I shouldn't eat when I eat out anything that has a face or a mother. Then he looks at me kind of funny and she says, I don't understand. I said, well, the doctor says that if it has cholesterol, I shouldn't really order it. And she says, oh, let me talk to the chef. So she brings the chef out to me. And the chef says, I understand you have some special priorities. A doctor has told you what you can have. I said, that's right. I said, I don't know if you can help me. I play being helpless. And you can see the chef, he's trying to say, why don't you try me? I'm a chef. I know what to do. I don't say anything. I said, I don't know if you can help me. He said, why don't you give it a try? I said, my doctor doesn't want me to have anything that has cholesterol. No meat. Oh, he said, we have chicken. I said, no, the doctor said, if it has a face, I shouldn't eat it. It used to have a face, he said. It doesn't have a face anymore. I said, and he said, so a face? Oh, so that leaves the fish too? I said, yeah, unfortunately, yeah. He said, that doctor's pretty rough on you, isn't he? I said, yeah, he is. He said, is there anything else? I said, yeah. He also wants me to be on a very, very low-fat diet. Can I use any oil? I said, yeah. Oh, well, how much? I said, maybe a half a teaspoon or a teaspoon. Would that work for you? He said, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty small amount, isn't it? I said, well, it's that doctor. He said, is there anything else? He said, yeah, he wants me to be on a low-sodium diet. So he said, low salt? I said, yes. Oh, that's no problem because we have soya sauce. I said, no, the doctor told me that there might be more salt there than in. Oh. And he looks at me and he said, any dessert? I said, oh, yeah. He wants me to have some fruit salad. He said, why don't you change doctors? And these two professors are sitting there. They have a hard time. Because they don't know I am the one, right? So next time you go out to eat, be sure you blame it on the doctor. He's so rough on me. He makes life almost impossible for me. It's almost unbearable. But he's a good doctor, and I want to be healthy. The doctor. You're not the health nut. It's that doctor. You got the idea? And these two professors, we all ordered the same thing. Oh, we had some nice food. They have all kinds of things. I mean, you can get anything, corn, potatoes, vegetables, a big salad. They have good bread sometimes. You can get all these things, lentil soup. Just ask for it. Just because you're vegetarian doesn't mean you eat like a rabbit. No, you just leave out the corpses. You just leave out the cadavers. Got it? Can you imagine people eat stuff that has been dead for weeks sometimes? Those special New York steaks, they rot them purposely so they're nice and soft. Enough. What about, oh my goodness, no. What about our foods from Loma Linda, Cedar Lake? The store will no longer sell my books if I denigrate these products here. I can't do it. That was a pretty nasty question, wasn't it? But let me give you an honest and a diplomatic answer, okay? These are fine foods to get you from one side of the river to the other side of the river. They're transitional food. They're bridging foods. The trouble with Adventists is we've been on this side so long, we've gotten up on the bridge, and we stay there. So if you have people that are used to having a high amount of meat, sometimes you can't get them to the other side of the river. Why don't you try some of these phony bolognese? I mean, taste-wise, they're pretty attractive. Yes, when you're used to real food that God made from scratch, right, they're a little high in salt many times, and they're oftentimes high in fat. They have improved these products now more and more and more. So, you know, we want to be very balanced here. You come to my house, and you will find probably a couple of cans there that my wife may use as a condiment. Small amounts. When we have guests, and they may not be quite ready for some of these things. But otherwise, you know, it's not something that we eat on a regular basis. And if you want to maybe use some of these products, they can be very, very helpful in helping others to help them to the other side of the bridge. Of the river. Is that a reasonable approach? Please don't put my name down, okay? Don't drag it down in the mud. Actually, it's my honest opinion. I don't say that because I want to be on the right side of the conference here, but I just tell you, there is a place for it. That's how they were developed in the early days by Dr. Kellogg. Because you wanted these meat-eating people in those days, 120 years ago, to move towards the other side, and it became sort of a substitute, a surrogate. Okay? So they have that place, but I think we want to perhaps move more and more towards the other side as our taste buds begin to change.
Does your wife make any collards or anything like that? Gluten steaks, does she do that?
No, you know, she doesn't take the time for these gluten steaks. As a matter of fact, it just seems to be too much work. But if some people want to do this, I think use them in small amounts and you're okay. Okay? Yeah, I appreciate the question. I'm losing 1.5 pounds a week. Let's see here. I used to be 180 pounds. I'm not a large, tall person. I've already lost 42 pounds in 20 weeks. Is that good? 40 pounds in 20 weeks? That's 2 pounds a week. That person is a winner. That person has become very, very disciplined. That person, we ought to give him a hand, whoever it is. So then the person says, but I still have to lose another 140 pounds. I need to lose another 140 pounds. This person was 180 pounds overweight. She was 180 pounds overweight. She lost 40 pounds in 20 weeks. How about the other 140 pounds? And I recommend try to lose 1 pound a week, because as you have made that initial big success, your body begins to slow down a little bit. The metabolic rate changes a little bit. It becomes more difficult because the body now thinks you're starving yourself. The body begins to conserve energy. So think in terms of a pound. If you have 1.5 pounds, you are doing great. But think in terms of, on the average, 1 pound a week, and you have 140 pounds more to go. So that would be, 138 pounds. So that would be 138 weeks. So that's, what, about 2.5 years? You have to think long term. Because when you lose weight too fast, you have all these folds. Because they have to absorb, the skin has to absorb itself gradually, and it does it best when you lose 1 pound or so a week. Also, if you lose weight too fast, you may not recognize yourself in the mirror anymore. And the people surrounding you, they all make kind of comments. You having cancer? You're losing weight too fast? Something wrong? You know, just for cosmetic reasons and for physiological reasons, how the body likes to reduce weight. If you lose 1 pound a week after the initial significant loss here, I think you're doing very, very well. Okay? Here's a physician. He writes, I have many patients who will not consider significant lifestyle interventions for their diabetes. What shall I do? Shall I not give any medication? It's a good question, isn't it? You know what the problem is? I suspect we are poor salespeople. A physician has 10 minutes time, oftentimes, to take care of a patient like this. You have to diagnose the ill. You have to match it up with a pill. You have to kind of work with that person educationally. And it's very difficult. We need to train probably one of our nurses to become sort of a health educator. And maybe the physician, his time is too valuable. He can send the person to that special person and say, look, I can give you some medication, but you may not be ready for it yet. And it may not be the right medication, or maybe you want it, but there's a better way to do this, because if I give you medication, I have to give you more and more and more and more. There are always side effects. And I wonder if you would be open. You can actually change the disease. You can stop it. You can delay it. You can reverse it. But you have to become involved yourself with it. And I'll be standing by your side when you come every 4 weeks and we see each other. I will be there and I will encourage you. We'll work together and I'll monitor your blood sugar levels. And I want to also make sure that you take your own blood sugar levels. And if they go down, you know it's going to work. If they don't go down, call me. I'll be by your side. And now I want you to see the nurse, and she will spend 15, 20 minutes with you. She has some handout materials. She has some booklets that she can give you. We have it all prepared for you, because the best way to handle this problem is to turn it off. And you can do it. You are the CEO, the chairman of the board for your own health, right or wrong? So I think we have to become better salespeople. What we sometimes do is, well, I can put you on some medication, or I can give you some, you can change your diet. I don't want to change your diet. Because you haven't sold it very, very well. People need to understand that this is really working. I can tell people, I have 85,000 CHIP graduates. 12% of these people are diabetics. We have seen we have 535 diabetics, and after 4 weeks, we only had 301. That means 43% no longer needed medication, or they were normalized in just 30 days. That's what they need to understand. And we can do it. We have a special little cookbook put together just for you for diabetes. Do you think that might fly? You're not convinced, are you? I lost 25 pounds. I need to lose another 50 pounds. What shall I do? Well, just do what you did. Just do it again, okay? Stay on the program and eat simple foods. Get into a walking program. Someone in our family is 6'4" tall, lost 190 pounds 2 years ago on his own. But now it all has come back. Any suggestions? People that do this on their own, they can do it, but it's very difficult. They need to have support structures. They need to know that they are not the only ones. They need to know we're doing this together. Then it can work. They have to have a support system. In the CHIP program, we enroll people not only in the program that lasts about 9 to 12 weeks, but also a whole year, and they meet every month. Now, I also want to talk about, you have a special diabetes program here in this conference, right, called Reversing Diabetes. I want you to really know that I'm not here to push a CHIP program. since you have a good program going here for diabetes, put your heart behind this program. If you know someone with diabetes, would you please stand? Who are the people that run this program here? Oh, you promoted your church. Why don't you stand up so people can see you? If they have questions, yes. Thank you so much for doing this. Yes. I talk about CHIP because that's my life. So forgive me for talking about this. My daughter has been on a diet, and everything looks perfect. Now, cholesterol is 116. Her triglycerides are perfect. Her blood sugar is perfect. Her blood pressure is 97 out of 68. She's looking great. Her diet utilizes a high-fat diet. What do you say to that? People go to the Atkins program, and they eat all the fat and all the meat that they want, and they do lose weight, and the cholesterol comes down in the short term. But they're mortgaging their future for a short-term benefit. Let's be very careful. These studies that they sometimes refer to, they're usually 3, 4, 5, at the most 6 months long. And then you pay the bill afterwards. This is sort of an unusual success story, particularly successful with the Atkins program. This is not the way God designed how we should eat. Eat more corpses and you become healthy. Doesn't really make sense, does it? I mean, just from an intuitive point of view. What do you think about fish oil? Well, fish oil has been really, in the last couple of years, been debunked. That was big time recommended by the medical profession over and over again. It has been debunked. What we are recommending to people, and we always have done this, is use more flaxseed. You know flaxseed? But please first grind it up. If you don't, it goes right through and you can recycle it. It doesn't give you the nutritional benefits that you are looking for. You've got to grind it. And it's best if you grind it, use it once a week and put it in your refrigerator because it can turn rancid with time. Now, there are some products out there that stabilize the ground-up flax, so you don't have to grind it necessarily, but you have to put it in your refrigerator or keep it in a dark place. And we recommend that you have 1 or 2 tablespoons of ground-up flax every morning, ideally, on your cereal. So if you have a hot cereal, that makes it very nice. It's nice, nutty, crunchy. But introduce it first with 1 teaspoon, and maybe after another week, 2 teaspoons, and maybe then 1 tablespoon, which is 3 teaspoons, and then you graduate to 2 tablespoons because a flaxseed is sort of a flaxative. You're going to be on the move, so do it slowly because there's lots of fiber. Yes. Yes, the comment has been made here. I have heard that it would be good to put the flaxseed, the ground flaxseed, into the freezer, and when I need it, I take it out. Yeah, that's exactly what we just talked about, right? We said ground it and keep it in the refrigerator or freezer is fine. Keep it in a dark place and so it doesn't turn rancid. But it usually takes 2, 3, 4 weeks before it really turns rancid. So don't be too worried. It's not a big issue. How does a person who developed type 2 diabetes all of a sudden become a type 1 diabetic when 20 years later? Well, can you explain that to me? Your type 2 diabetic is a person that's an older person usually, not necessarily, but usually a large person, right? And when you have diabetes, the pancreas, this special gland, pumps out more and more insulin in order to open up these cellular gates that we talked about this morning. And when the pancreas does it for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, it burns itself out. It fatigues and actually burns itself out, and you no longer have a properly functioning pancreas, and now you become a type 1 diabetic as if you had never had a pancreas to start with. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Does it make sense to you? Yeah. So you overload the pancreas because you're making these demands on it because of the high-fat diet and the fat that is inside the cells that we talked about this morning, which is gumming up the locks, and the keys no longer work to open up the doors. I have done everything right with my children. I really believe I've nurtured them exactly the way it's supposed to be done. And yet, at 4 years of age, my precious daughter came down with type 1 diabetes. What did I do wrong? One of the most common causes we suspect of type 1 diabetes is probably dairy products, because it set up an autoimmune response where the body doesn't recognize this protein from the cow and it begins to attack it. So it begins to attack the very tissues that produce the insulin, in this case the pancreas. So the pancreas actually begins to shut down and dies in sort of a way. It doesn't produce anymore the insulin. In this particular case, you know, sometimes you can become a type 1 diabetic. You're 50 years of age. You're lean. You're not overweight. You have an accident, and you squash, you harm, you hurt, you injure the pancreas. It can no longer produce sufficient insulin, and you become now a type 1 diabetic. You are a baby. You're 3 or 4 years of age, and a virus attacks you for some reason. And for some reason, the immune system doesn't knock it out, and the virus now attacks the pancreas, and that person can then become a type 1 diabetic. That's what I suspect probably may have happened here. Yes? Okay. Somebody's suggesting that maybe wheat gluten could also produce that. Okay, people that are allergic to wheat gluten. I'm not so sure, but it could very well be. Okay? All right. Thank you very much for contributing. What oils are acceptable? What oils are acceptable? What oils are acceptable? What's the best oil to use? The best oil to use is WD-40. But don't drink it and don't use it. It's for the car. There's no need for oil. Oil comes to us in food as it comes to us in nature. So when you eat corn, there's corn oil in corn, isn't it? That's where the corn oil comes from. It just has been extracted. It has been taken out industrially, and then it's being made available, and it concentrates the calories. You say, well, I need to have a little bit of oil in my salad dressing. That's okay. Use a little bit of olive oil. Use some canola oil. Whatever you want to use. There's nothing that is superior one over the other. We sometimes think olive oil is good. I mean, folks, you know how olive oil was used in the Bible? To anoint the king. It was a sacred function. You wouldn't use something that was just commonly used for eating, and then you say, well, this is for a special unctioning, for a special function, anoint the king. It was a very special product. If you want to get some olive oil, get some olives. But be careful. There's oftentimes a lot of salt in them, right? If you have trouble with high blood pressure, you have to be a little careful. So my suggestion is try to cut back on most oils as much as you can. Move away from oils as much as you can. If you have some Italian dressing, you make it yourself, and you want to put a little bit of oil in there, I don't have any big problem. I'm not a fanatic about these kind of things, but I want to make it very clear. We got to break the tyranny of fats and oils in our food because we think it's good, because that has been sold to the people. You have to go on the Mediterranean diet, that will save you, and you have to eat lots of oil, lots of olive oil. Well, there are other things in the Mediterranean diet that are providing you with these health benefits. How about all the vegetables and the tomatoes that you have in the Mediterranean diet, like the Italian diets and so on? But we somehow always get this idea, well, olive oil will take care of everything. Be careful. It's an empty calorie. Every gram of beef fat, tallow, isn't that what they called it? Tallow? Every gram of tallow has 9 calories. Every gram of sunflower oil has 9 calories. Every gram of coconut oil has 9 calories. Every gram of olive oil has 9 calories. Every gram of double virgin cold-pressed olive oil has 9 calories. Folks, if you're trying to lose weight, be careful with any kind of fat, because regardless of whether it's so-called a good fat or bad fat, it's always 9 calories. And we are struggling as a society with overweight. So to move oil to the side of our diet is the right thing to do. Okay, for many, many reasons. Varicose veins. Can varicose veins be reversed? Yeah, you can reverse them by having your physician, your surgeon, stripping them. And that's the only way I know of. How do you grow these varicose veins? There are many, many reasons why they develop. There was a Dr. Burkett, a personal friend of mine in England, famous physician. He was a surgeon, and he heard the lecture at the medical school that these varicose veins occur in pregnant women because of all the load that they have as they are loaded with a baby sitting right here. So it puts a lot of pressure on some of the veins. And as the pressure is being put on these veins, they begin to bulge, and that's what really varicose veins are. And then he said, I don't think that's the real reason, because I've seen many men with varicose veins. They were not pregnant. Yeah. See, let me see. Are you pregnant, sir? Yeah, yes. So, and he began to research this thing out, and he came up with the idea that probably when you are straining, especially with constipation, you know, you're putting a lot of pressure on the abdominal cavity inside here. I mean, can't you feel it? I mean, just pretend you're doing this. Don't let go. I mean, please. You put pressure on the intestinal tract. And you put pressure on the veins, on these vascular structures. And we probably cause some kind of a blowout many, many times in these veins. Then you develop varicose veins. They're special little valves inside. And they're being undermined, they have become compromised, they no longer function very well. And so when these valves are gone, then the blood begins to pool. Because you have to have these little valves, because the blood in the veins always goes from down to up. So it pushes it up, and then you have a valve, it shuts down, so it keeps it there, and then pushes it up again. And when these valves are no longer functioning, then the blood begins to sort of settling down, and it pools. So varicose veins, I think the only answer there that I know of is to have it stripped by a good surgeon. Let me see how we're doing here. Do you want to go a little bit longer today, or? Okay. Let me say this one. If you have to leave at 5:15, don't feel embarrassed. We understand. Go. If you can stay a little bit longer, I'd be glad to spend a little bit of time more with you. Is that okay? Okay. Can you please give us an example of your meal plan? Well, I want you to know, I'm an unusual German man that's preparing 1/3 of all the meals in my family. Wow. My wife tells everybody this. He's a German man, and German men in the traditional sense have never been known to go in the kitchen. But I have trained him. She's a very smart lady. When we have guests, she always says, my husband. He is the head of the household. He's the head of the family. But I'm the neck. Clever girl, isn't she? Real feminine. But she still gives me the honor. He is the head. Well, here's what I do. It sounds like pretty... it's much, much more than it really is. When I say I prepare 1/3 of the meals, I prepare breakfast. I sometimes prepare it at night. I put something in the crock pot, and in the morning it's done. That's breakfast. I would take some whole grain product. You've heard of Bob's Red Mill? Yeah, they have the finest products there. I usually take a 5-grain or 7-grain or 10-grain or 12-grain. You can choose whatever you want. And I use 1 cup of these whole grains and 3 cups of water. I bring the water to a boil. I put some fruits in there. I may put some, I cut up some grapes that I put in there, or I put in some blueberries. I have some dates that I cut up. I put some walnuts in there, and sometimes I have some mangoes, some fresh mangoes. I just left mangoes, and I cut them up a little bit. I put it in there, and I put 1 or 2 tablespoons of flaxseed, ground up flaxseed, into the hot water, and it makes it very gelatinous. It's kind of nice. That's how I like it. And you know, when I've done, once that's boiling, then I just take 1 cup of the grains, I put it in, and immediately I turn the heat down to simmer. Mm-hmm. When I do this, it will never stick to the bottom. It never turns into concrete. It's very simple. And then I add, and then while this is happening, I take a couple of apples for my wife and myself, and I grate, you know, a grater. I grate the apples. That's the Birker Müsli, Birker Brenner Müsli type that was becoming very famous. It was famous one time. It still is in Switzerland. And I grate the apple very, very fine. And then I put it on the bottom of a nice bowl. And then I pour some of the porridge. Let's call it porridge. I put it on top. Then another layer and another amount of porridge. And then I cut up some bananas and put them on top, and then I go outside and I take a sprig. Is that the right word? Sprig of rosemary. Wow. No, I don't eat it. It's just for decoration. Because you eat with your eyes, right? And then I regularly bring breakfast to the bedside of my wife. I do it every year on Mother's Day. So that's breakfast. Now, what my wife does, you know, she has a meal always ready, usually at noontime. Sometimes we're on a 2-meal-a-day program. Sometimes we have 3 meals a day. Usually I take care of myself more or less in the evening because my wife teaches, and the students usually come at 2 o'clock and they go till about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, something like this, because they're in school in the morning. So then I usually help myself. She has it all prepared, sitting on the stove. It's ready for me to be used. And so at noontime, what do we have? We might have a big salad, always a big salad. And I love Boston butter leaf. It's velvet-like. I can take whole head of lettuce. I mean, I'm crazy when it comes to Boston butter leaf lettuce. You know, they still have the roots on them. So if you can't eat it all at one time, I sometimes can. Of course, I share it usually with my wife. So we easily put away 1 head of lettuce. We usually buy 6 at a time. We do. We love these kind of things. And, you know, then we put some tomatoes on there. We put some cucumbers on there. We have some sunflower seeds there. And we grow our own kale. We have some outside boxes there. We have all the different kinds of herbs there. Because in California, you can do all these things. There's no problem, right? Winter, summer, any time of the year. And so we have, and she actually puts the seeds into the ground for kale. And we have all this nice, fresh kale coming up. There's always kale everywhere there. And when you cut those kale leaves, they always come back. Oh, yeah. They always come. You have it for the whole year. I mean, this is fabulous. It's very, very economical. We are cheap. If you can grow it at home, if you can grow it in on the deck, do it. Kale. Kale is a very, very absolutely healthy food. And so then I go outside. And she always says, would you please get the herbs? I do. I get the rosemary. I get the thyme. I get the parsley. I get the oregano. I get some peppermint. And then I have a herb cutting scissors. Do you know what they are? You have a scissors. They're the most wonderful thing that you can ever give to your children at Christmas time. Really. Because they have five blades, like one, two, three, four, five, all in parallel motion. And when you cut the herbs, you cut with one hand motion a lot of these things in very small, fine strips. It's wonderful. The last one that I gave was to Dr. Esselstein's wife. And she said, Hans, everywhere I do cooking classes, I tell them about that special herbal scissors that you gave me as a gift. So I always feel happy that she advertises my chip program. Then in the evening, we might have some lentil soup. We always, in our house, have Ezekiel 4:9 bread. Have you heard about this? Or Killer Dave's bread? You know, these are oftentimes sprouted kernels. These are probably superior breads. Don't be hesitant to use breads. I mean, when I talk about bread, don't buy these white Wonder Breads. You know these Wonder Breads? If you puncture a hole into this cellophane bag and you just squeeze it a little bit from both sides, you wonder where it is. That's Wonder Bread. You want to buy the best bread that you can find. Don't worry about paying some extra money for good bread. It's a stuff of life. Do you have a live-in program? I don't. But we run our chip program at the Black Hills in South Dakota, one of the finest places that I know. And my personal friend, Dr. John Kelly, is the medical director there. They have a program that is 13 days or 19 days. They teach you how to prepare food. It's a very, very excellent program. I go there from time to time. I talk to the alumni, and I highly recommend this program. Then it says here, oh, I don't know how to fix food. Can you please help me? And I don't know what are legumes. I mean, I appreciate the honest question. What are legumes? Green beans, string beans, dry beans, inexpensive beans. Do not buy beans in cans because these are salt mines. Don't buy beans in cans unless they say no salt added. And it's so much cheaper if you just put them into a crock pot. Put them there the night before. The next day it's done. And you can do whatever you want. And you season those beans at the very end, of course, as the cooking comes to its completion, right? Okay. So I appreciate those honest questions. I have been a vegetarian. I'm apparently this lady is in her 60s or 70 years, and she says, I've been a very faithful vegetarian, and now I have these floaters in my eyes. You know what they are? Floaters. They're like pieces of things are floating around in your eyes, and they dim your vision just a little bit. They just sort of float around, and they're kind of annoying. It's nothing really to worry about too much. But when you get to the 50s, and especially 60s and 70 years, some of these floaters begin to show up. You can have some surgery done. They have some retina centers nowadays, like at Loma Linda, and it takes about 5 minutes. They can do it, but it's a fairly expensive procedure. It's probably, in most cases, not necessary. Okay, these are called floaters. They're not really that consequential in terms of your health. Please speak about supplements. We believe that supplements should come as they come in nature, in food. You had floaters and they went away by themselves, okay? This sort of reinforces the idea that these are not really things that we should worry too much about, but they're sometimes a bit annoying. What about supplements? We recommend that you should get all the different nutrients that you need from the food that God provided. And you say, well, wait a minute, sir. Don't you know the soil is no longer carrying all the nutrients? Therefore, we are probably not getting enough nutrients in the food. Good point. However, please remember, follow my reasoning now. Our food comes from different parts of the world, from all over the world. Right? Does that mean that all the people in the world have diminished soil? Now, if you would just get your product from one particular area in this country, and that soil might indeed be very deficient, and it becomes more and more so, actually, because of how we treat the soil, that might be a different story. But by and large, it is not really a big issue. And please remember, when we talk about supplements, we're talking about phytochemicals. We're talking about minute elements where you need over 100,000 different phytochemicals. They only come from plants. That's what it means. Phyto means plants. Phytochemicals. And when you have a vitamin C, when you have a vitamin E, when you have some of these kind of vitamin supplements, it's just that. I'll give you an example. You have an orange, and what do you have in orange? What vitamin is in orange? Vitamin C. Okay, so you are running out of time in the morning. You don't have your orange. You can't eat it anymore. You don't have time. So you can't drink the orange juice. What are you short of? Vitamin C. So you take a vitamin C tablet because I'm okay because the vitamin C in the tablet is exactly biochemically the vitamin C that you have in the orange. It's the same thing. So everything is fine, right? It's not, because you probably have 50 to 100 different biological activating substances that are in the orange, and they work in collaboration with the vitamin C and activate it and make it really effectively working for you that you don't have when you take the vitamin C in the tablet form as a chemical. You see, it's much more complex than we thought. Now, if a person may have gone through some cancer situation, you know, there is a place for having a very well-chosen multivitamin mineral tablet. There's a place for that. For some people that have a vitamin D deficiency, there may be a place for that. We don't worry too much about that where we live in California, but maybe some areas, there may be a place for it where you can do this. But by and large, we like to have the vitamins and the minerals and the phytochemicals coming the way they come in nature. What about B12? Exception. When you become a total vegetarian, a pure vegetarian, you become a vegan. It will take about 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years before the vitamin B12 storage is depleted. So you don't have to really worry too much about things. But let's just say that you want to be careful. And so you say, well, after about 3, 4 years, maybe I should think about augmenting and supplementing my B12. Yeah, you can do that very easily by taking some nutritional yeast. You ever heard of nutritional yeast? They're great to use for if you have some popcorn that you made yourself. You use a spritzer with a little bit of water to make it moist, and then you put them into a bag. My wife does it, and she puts several spoonfuls of nutritional yeast, and she shakes the whole thing, and it sticks to the. It's great. If you like popcorn in that fashion, okay, and you have to worry about the fats. In general, we always recommend to people that become total vegetarians. Take an occasional vitamin B12 tablet. You can take 500 micrograms. They're very small amounts, really. They come in big, the little bottles, tablets here. Put them under your tongue. It's fine. You don't even have to do it every day. It's not really that big of an issue. I do it when I remember it. I've done this for 35 years. I've not had any deficiencies, okay? And that's usually the case. Now, when you get older, you may have deficiencies, not because you are shy of B12, but because the gastric juices are no longer there as they used to be. And you have the same problem in meat-eating people as you have in vegetarians because there's some other things that are happening. So be careful. But nevertheless, in general, we always recommend to our CHIP people, take some vitamin B12 because if something goes wrong, everybody says, you see, it's those... Iron, in most cases, you don't need iron. As a matter of fact, iron tablets can be counterproductive because they promote atherosclerosis. Now, if you have, especially iron deficiency, especially as premenopausal premenstrual women, sometimes you lose a lot of iron. You know, there's a place for getting some special iron supplements. There may be sometimes special reasons you need to work with your physician on that. There may be something else going on. But you don't need to eat meat in order to get iron. Okay? All right. So we're just about running out of time here. I have a few more here. Can you explain how emotional stress leads to central obesity? What does that mean? Emotional stress leads to central obesity. How does that work? When you have stress, you get big and fat? What happens? You develop this central... Oh, yeah. It becomes a pacifier. Food becomes a pacifier. And that's where you have to really, really be very careful. And so you need to begin to think in terms of eating something else that is low in calories and high in nutritional value. I don't know what that is. Maybe you can have a pear. Maybe you have some celery. Maybe you have some carrots. You know, whatever sort of turns you on. I mean, if you're used to candy bars, it's not going to taste like a candy bar. But, you know, as you begin to wean yourself away from these things, that candy bar is no longer quite as attractive in a few weeks as it used to be. Believe me, when I get some Häagen-Dazs, somebody gives me some Häagen-Dazs, I take maybe half a little bit of these little scoops. I said, oh, I can't take it. It's too sweet. I used to love this stuff. When I came from Germany, I landed in Montreal, and I saw you can get a whole gallon of ice cream. I made up for lost time. But now it's gone. I don't need it anymore. Now, let's go and take a look at the story I want to tell you. If we have the slides. Yeah. I want to tell you the story of Boyd Brenner because I want to send you home with a real fascinating story. I want you to think about this. I want you to be inspired. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to remember that story because you can be the next Mr. Brenner. Mr. Brenner, I'm in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I'm hired by a hospital. We have 900 people in the CHIP program there. In this particular situation, there's a large auditorium. And I look around the auditorium, and there's one man. He sits like this. You know what that means? I don't want to be here. At the break time, I move over to this gentleman that sits like this. And I said, sir, I don't know his name. I said, sir, what brings you here? Very soft voice, not intrusive, a kind, warm voice. Sir, what brings you here?
My wife.
Oh. And why is your wife here?
Oh, she wants to lose some weight. You know, she's crazy, but she's looking good to me, but she...
And so you are accompanying her?
Yeah, you got to do something sometimes to be nice to these. Yeah.
A few minutes later, I see a woman moving in that direction, and I figure this could be the same, that could be the spouse. So I go to this lady and I said, are you related to this man back there? She says, yeah. I said, what is your name? She said, Brenner. Oh. And what is your husband's name? Boyd. We call him Buzz. He sounded like a buzz saw to me. And I said, what brings you here? And she said, my husband. I said, how did your husband bring you here? Well, she said, he was 57 years of age when he had to retire because of health problems. This is now several years ago. And he had 9 heart attacks. He had 2 bypass surgeries. And he still has angina pain so much so that he cannot even walk to his mailbox. He cannot even sleep during the night because of incessant and continuous chest pain. He goes to the mailbox and he has to take 5-6 nitroglycerin tablets just to make it to the mailbox. We used to change his bed because he can no longer lie down, so we put him into a chair, an easy chair. So we'd sit up and sleep in that for several months. And then after a while, that is no longer working. And so now he's just walking around day and night with pain. Every morning, I rub him, his chest, with his nitroglycerin cream, the salve. And then I put saran wrap around him so that he has this nitroglycerin in his skin, all over his upper body, just for him to make it through the day. She said, these arteries, these grafted arteries, these grafted veins actually, they closed up again on him. He was at the Mayo Clinic. They've done a great job there, but he's still smoking his pipe. He's 65 pounds overweight. He's taking all these different medications. He is a diabetic. He is hypertensive. He has gouty arthritis. His cholesterol is very high. He's on medication for that. His triglycerides are in the thousands. He already had his gallbladder removed, and he's still smoking his pipe, and I don't know what to do. And he has all the medications that he takes, blood thinners and high blood pressure medications. He's taking 67 units of insulin. The poor man. And I'm just here. I brought him here as a last effort before he goes. You know the pressure I felt? What can I do? And so the next day, I see this man. I know where he sits because I just look around the large auditorium and I see someone like this, Mr. Brenner. It's break time. I move over to him and I said, Mr. Brenner, tell me, I heard you had some heart disease. Oh, yes, 9 heart attacks. And I had 2 bypasses. It was like a trophy. I want you to know, I endured all of this. And they were done at the Mayo Clinic. And then he said to me, you know, why do you come and see me? This is the second day in a row. What are you trying to do to me? Why don't you leave me alone? What are you trying to do to me? Are you trying to change me? He said, I am a German and you cannot change a German. Oh, I said, I know these people very well. He said, is there anything else that you have? Yeah, I'm a diabetic. I've been diabetic for 5 years now. Is there anything else? Isn't that enough? He was feisty. He was a fighter. He was agitated. And so I turned to him and I said, is there anything else that I can do? No, just leave me alone. And then he said, you may not know it. I am a Mayo man. I'm at the best clinic in the country, and they told me there's nothing I can do about my situation. It's genetic. It runs in my family. Bingo. So leave me alone. It's bad enough that I have to live this way. I see his wife. I say, Mrs. Brenner, tell me about your husband. How does he live? Heavy meat eater. He can put away a 2-pound roast at a time. I see him the next day. I say, Mr. Brenner, how are things going? There he is again. I said, tell me, what do you enjoy doing? He said, I'm a hunter. I hunt exotic animals. I go up to Canada. I get these Indian guides, and I have all these exotic meats. And then he looks at me and he said, hey, actually, you're a pretty nice guy. You know, when this thing is over here, I want you to come to my house. I want you to come to my basement. I have 5 freezers, and I want to show you what a real man eats. Bear meat, caribou, seal, deer. He had everything, bear meat. He had it all there. And he said, I want to show you what a real man eats. I called my daughter. I said, darling, tell me, psychologist, I don't know how to deal with this man. She says, Dad, what you need to do, you cannot change him, but you can engage him. So you have to ask very specific questions. Not questions where you say yes or no. No, you have to engage him. So you have to ask him, sir, what are your goals? What is it that you still want to do? Talk to him nicely, of course. So the next day, I see him. I said, Mr. Brenner, tell me, you have been on my mind. What are some of the things, the goals that you still have? And couldn't maybe somehow this program help you to fulfill those goals?
I don't think so, he said.
But I said, what do you really want to do?
Well, he said, you know, I'm a hunter. I'm a big hunter. I told you that yesterday, yes. But I'm also a big fisherman. And one of my goals is I want to be fishing for these big ones. I want to get them big ones.
I said, oh, I see.
I said, where are you going to go? I'm going to the Caribbean. I'm going to Costa Rica. They've got the big ones there. I'm going to get them.
And sir, and how many pounds will these fish be?
He said, about 75 to 85 pounds.
And I said, Mr. Brenner, that's really interesting. When are you going to do this?
Within the next 6 months.
I'm following my daughter's orders, right? And then I think to myself, this man needs some reality orientation. I mean, if he would have a minnow at the end of his hook, he would get so excited that he would have an angina attack. And this guy thinks he can catch an 80-pound fish? Come on, sir. And I look him straight in the eye, and I said, Mr. Brenner, you ain't going to go to Costa Rica in 6 months. You ain't going to catch them big ones. You have heart disease. You can't do it. And his eyes turned icy, cold gray. And he said, you want to bet? And I knew the man was angry. And my best next move was to leave the audience as fast as I could. I was really intimidated by this man. We finished the program. But what I should maybe tell you first is that, you see, this man was told at the Mayo Clinic, there's nothing you can do about your health because you picked the wrong parents. It's in the genes. That's what we thought at that time, but now we know that the body begins to heal itself if you feed it the right foods, and the genes that you may have for a disease can be turned off. He didn't know that, and the Mayo people didn't know that at the time. This is new science. The program ends. I go home. After 3 months, I come back to do an alumni meeting. Mrs. Brenner finds out that I'm in town. She calls me up at the hotel and she says, Dr. Deal, could you do me a favor? Could you please have my husband speak tomorrow night at the alumni meeting? When you had that experience, you will always remember it. And the answer is N-O. I said, Mrs. Brenner, the program is so full, I possibly couldn't do it at this point. And she's very smart, and she says to me, Dr. Deal, you're an educator. You know, I'm an educator, too. I teach school. Dr. Deal, we're on the same wavelength, are we? She says, my husband has practiced his speech. It's on cue cards. It's 8 minutes long. And you'd be absolutely amazed. It's a wonderful speech. Would you please give him a chance? Because it's going to be the best medicine that anybody could give him, to give him a chance to talk about his progress that he has made. I begin to wrestle within myself. I have a soft side. I have a professional side that is a little bit more analytical. I guess, which side wins out? Soft side. I'm a softie. And then after I said, okay, then I dread it. I have to face that man tomorrow. The next day comes. Mr. Brenner's right there. I welcome the people and I said, we have Mr. Brenner here. He's one of our graduates from the last program 3 months ago. Some of you, of course, will remember him. He wants to give a short report. I hold the mic for him. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, the four most important letters of the alphabet are found in the last four letters of the word American. And he said, if I as a German can, everybody can. I didn't know what he was going to say next. But it was a pretty good attention-getting way to start the speech, right? And he said, when I came to this program, I didn't have a chance in the world because I was told by the Mayo Clinic that I have a genetic problem and there's nothing I could do, so I just lived it up because what else can I do? My life was over. I couldn't even walk to the mailbox 200 feet away without taking 5, 6, 7 nitroglycerins. I couldn't sleep in my bedroom anymore. I couldn't even sleep in my chair anymore. I'm just a desperate man. And when this man made all those claims, I decided I'm going to do everything that this man says 150% to prove him wrong because he's from Loma Linda. I'm from Mayo. Mayo knows best. So I did everything 150% of what this man said because my goal was to prove him wrong. And here are the results. He said, since then, my weight, which was 221 pounds in the last 3 months, has gone down to 208. I've never eaten so much food. My blood sugar used to be 205 on 67 units of insulin. Now it's 131. It's almost normal. No more insulin. He said, my cholesterol was 288. That's high, isn't it? Now it's 128. I said, wow, he has the cholesterol of a Chinese person now. Triglycerides were 2,300 on medication. Now it's down to 400, which is still too high, but he's no longer on medication. His blood pressure is 122 over 78. It turned out to be 118 over 64. Basically the same normal blood pressure, but on the first test, he was on 3 medications. Now he's on 0. Are you with me? The diet, the lifestyle can take the place of the drugs. And it often does. Not always, but it does in most cases. And then the pulse had gone down from 78 beats per minute down to 56, which means he was exercising. Because when you exercise, your pulse goes down because that's what you want. It's less wear and tear on your heart. When you take some of these people like Federer, these tennis champions, when they wake up in the morning, they have a pulse of 32 to 36. When we wake up, it's 60, 70, 80, 85 because we are so unfit. When you have a fit body, the heart beats very strongly and slowly. Mine is about 50, 52 because, you know, when I travel, I sort of lose the habit of exercising, you know, like the last few days. I have my running outfit that I never used in the last few days, which is kind of sad. So I have to get back into swing of things now that it's kind of nice. So that's why sometimes you see me running around here a little bit, right? Yeah. And then he said, and ladies and gentlemen, my angina markedly decreased very quickly. I was able to level off my bed and remove my lazy boy recliner from my bedroom. It no longer looks like a sick person's room. My wife and I were in the same bedroom again. And he said, I've become friends, best friends, with my neighbor's German Shepherd dog. He loves me. My freezers are empty now. The German Shepherd dog has died of a heart attack since then. And everybody was rejoicing and clapping. And they said, Mr. Brenner, what about those big catches that you're going to do? And he said, I have 3 more months, don't I? He still was feisty. I'm going to send you the pictures. Well, the picture came. There was nothing on it. Then I got the second picture. He was fooling me. I call him up. You know, I said, Mr. Brenner, is that a fish that's about 80 pounds? He said, yes, sir. And I said, did you catch that yourself? I thought he just did a picture of somebody else's fish. He said, what do you think? I told you I'm going to catch those fish. I said, how many hours did you fight with that fish? He said, 4 hours.
I said, what about your angina, your heart pain? Well, there was a little bit there, but virtually nothing. He said, you know, I'm on a new program. I said, what did you do with the fish? I took a picture and threw it in the water because I'm a vegan. I want you to run a video that's 2 minutes long. Can we do this? Do we have time for this? Remember Mr. Brenner, don't you want to remember him? Oh. Okay, let me give you a little background while our technicians try to do the miraculous work back there. This is a man from Minneapolis. He'd been to all the doctors that he could find, and the answer was, there's nothing we can do. He went to some of the most sophisticated medical centers in the world. He tried to do stem cell changes.
I was more or less, I could hardly work, I could hardly do anything. I was such bad shape, so I had to do something, and this was my last resort. It was really like the last resort. Doctors couldn't do anything more. Mm-hmm. I did some stem cell research and did some of that. That didn't help. Mm-hmm. So it was like a last resort. And what I say, thank God, Chip. That's mm-hmm. I'm here today and I feel good, and everyone sees me and they say, boy, you look like $1 million now. You're just way better. So they pulled me out and they said, well, call your family in. So I called my son and some people in with me, and they go, you've got some major problems. And I go, what do you mean? And he says, well, you got 5 arteries plugged, 5 major ones plugged, starting at 100%, 99, 98, 96, 95, somewhere in there. Major.
You went then under the knife, right?
Yes, and had open heart surgery. Where they
5 bypasses?
5 of them, yes. And a month later, I felt really, really tough. So I went in again.
Because now, when they go back to check, what did they find?
They found all 5 of them are plugged.
I mean, the grafted vessels?
Yeah, the grafted vessels, yeah. They scarred up is what they call it.
Yeah,
they're not plugged, but they're scarred. And they're scarred up so much that they can't put a stent in there.
See, he had exhausted every possible medical intervention. He was now at a dead end, right? And then, I guess, is that when Chip came in?
Yes, that's when Chip came in. If I had nothing else I could do, the doctors couldn't do anything for me. They said, you are like a lazy 80-year-old man. That's your health. And I said, no, I'm not. I won't stand for this. Something's got to be done. And I said, well, I'll try it. And I did, and thank God it worked like a charm. It was great.
Maybe at this point in time, it would be a good opportunity for us to see how Tom is living. Because when he came into the program, it was a huge challenge. I felt a pretty big bunch of pressure on me because I didn't know if he was actually going to make it through the program or not. We were staring at our most challenging case yet. But we have a photo of Tom that I'd like us to look at now. And this is him after a year after taking the chip class. He's out there. He's digging his garden, not using a rototiller. He's using a spade.
Wow.
That is not a lazy 80-year-old man out there.
Just think. Just, hello?
Just think. That could have been his grave site. He developed the disease at 49. I visited him last year in Minnesota. He is in his 65 years thereabouts. He has done exceedingly well. You saw him on 3ABN there, didn't you?
Yeah.
It's just another case. Let me show you one more short clip. Brad, if we can do one more clip.
The two largest employees in Lee County, the school board and the Lee Memorial Health System, say they found a way to save you, the taxpayer, money. And they're doing it one fork at a time. They say they found a lifestyle program that is taking a bite out of the high cost of health care and at the same time making you feel better. And to quote executives, the results are simply amazing.
And a lot of people are noticing that I just look and feel better, so that's all positive.
Brian Ebers, a department director for the Lee County School System, lives with MS. Until a few weeks ago, he couldn't walk without a cane, but he doesn't need it anymore.
I feel better, and so I've decided that I'm going to leave that behind for a while and see how it goes.
That's because Brian is a student of CHIP, the Complete Health Improvement Program. It's where people are taught to eat meals that are plant-based, and Brian says it's a program that works.
The only reason I do this is because it gives me an opportunity to give people hope. People don't have hope anymore. They've tried and failed.
Kathy Raynard is a CHIP instructor. She explains why the more emphasis you put on vegetables, beans, and grains, and the less on meat and dairy, the better you'll feel. You can reverse chronic diseases like hypertension, cardiovascular disease, and diabetes.
You can choose to eat what you want, but the education kind of helps people see that what they've been doing potentially is the reason for their chronic disease, and they have the ability to change that.
So people like Brian aren't just walking and feeling better, they're spending less money on health care. Human Resource Director Angela Pruitt says that's saving the school system a lot of money.
4% of our employees result in 47% of our health care costs.
So along with the school district, Lee Memorial Health System put the CHIP program to the test. What they discovered was a remarkable turnaround with the health of their employees. After 12 months, for every dollar LMHS spent on helping employees live a plant-strong diet, they saved $2 in healthcare costs, with some added benefits.
One of the things that they've told us is that their energy level had increased dramatically. So we know that from that perspective, they take less time off from work, they are more productive on the job.
The two largest employers in Lee County say you can't argue with success like Brian, and they want to give all their employees the opportunity to be healthy by choice, not by chance.
We have the ability to help you reverse your chronic disease if you follow the principles we teach.
All right, now administrators say the CHIP graduates look so great and have lost so much weight, there's now a waiting list to get on the program. If you're interested in learning more about CHIP, just go to fox4now.com and click on this story.
Is the so-called good life killing you? Could the fast food and inactivity of your typical day be the key reason for your poor health today? 70% of all deaths are now attributed to lifestyle choices. And thanks to obesity-related health issues, this will be the first generation to live shorter lives than their parents. We all know the solution: move more and eat better. But we also know the power of bad habits. How do you change an entire lifetime of unhealthy choices? You can't do it alone. But there is help.
Well, I was about 50, a little over 50, and I had been obese for about 30 years and weighed about 80 pounds over my wedding day weight. I just, you know, felt tired all the time, didn't have a lot of motivation for doing much of anything. I knew I needed to lose the weight, and I needed a program that I could do easily and for the rest of my life. When I found out about CHIP, I began to apply the principles that were taught. I began to lose weight. The weight just melted off, and within a short time, I was feeling a whole lot better. I was able to fit back into my wedding dress for my 35th wedding anniversary, something I had always dreamed of and didn't think I'd ever be able to do again. And as I was walking one day, I had so much energy that I just felt like bursting into a run, which I hadn't done for many years. On top of that, I was able to play with my grandson in the park, and I wasn't getting sick anymore like I used to. CHIP just gave me my life back, and it's a lifestyle that I can do for the rest of my life.
Did you know that lifestyle diseases aren't just preventable, but also largely reversible? The Complete Health Improvement Program, CHIP for short, is the preeminent community lifestyle intervention education program where participants start to see a dramatic difference in their biometrics after 30 days into their three-month-long program. Clogged arteries begin to open up, blood pressures come down, diabetes turns around, people eat more but they lose weight, and high cholesterol levels drop often more than 20%. CHIP is all about choices. Safe, simple, deliberate lifestyle choices. CHIP gives you the education, motivation, and support structure needed to make smarter choices. Over 50,000 CHIP graduates are living proof that CHIP works.
In fact, to date, CHIP has over 20 published papers in peer-reviewed academic journals in the medical and scientific literature. And we believe that that makes it one of the most well-published community-based lifestyle interventions in the world. In fact, just recently, the American College of Lifestyle Medicine presented these results and discussed this paper on their website. And this is what they said. This study demonstrates clinical results of a large, we're talking 5,070, free-living cohort in North America, yielding some of the most impressive recorded clinical changes ever in the literature.
CHIP can help you get the healthy life you've dreamed of, kick the old habits of the so-called good life, and help you step confidently into the best life.
An osteopathic physician is trying to change our community's health and wean them off prescription drugs. Well, I talked with this physician and found out how.
Charles Ross has spent years treating patients with various diseases, and he went on a mission about 3 years ago to reverse those ailments. The success of his program, he says, is a plant-based diet.
I was going to have cataract surgery in this eye, as I was told by two different doctors. Now I can see out of it just darn near normally.
Before going on this food plan, Bryant said he had a heart attack and bypass surgery. He says he's now off prescription medication.
It's treating not only what you eat, how you exercise, how you manage stress, but also how you connect with the community. Mm-hmm.
We know that diet matters tremendously to human health. Diets that increase the amount of vegetable, Mediterranean diet, for instance, show improvements in health across the board.
Ross says he teaches the National Complete Health Improvement Program because he wants to help people in Douglas County. Reporting in Roseburg, I'm Kristen Goodwillie.
Hi, Mabuhay. I'm Dr. Lindalyn Barona, and I am a facilitator for the CHIP here at Philippine Publishing House. We have our regular sessions 3 days a week, and then we have our physical fitness, we have cooking demos, and after this CHIP program, we have shared the CHIP principle to our community. We have been having our Physics Sunday fitness program, and the people from the community comes to give them health tips, not only about health, but about cooking and lifestyle changes. There are around 600 people from the community that are participating, from the young to the old, ladies and gentlemen, and they are enjoying this exercise. The one leading our physical fitness is Alan, who had a heart attack 5 years ago, and he participated in CHIP. And now he is doing he's leading the exercises because he used to be a diabetic. He had a stent, but now everything, he has no more medicine.
Hi, Mabuhay. I'm Alan. 6 years ago, I was a diabetic patient. I had a heart attack. I was suffering from hemolytic anemia. I had 4 months of consecutive blood transfusion, 4 bags every month. And I heard about CHIP. So I joined CHIP. I was taking 172 units of insulin a day. And after the 1 month program of CHIP, it went down to 25 units after a month. Then after 3 or 4 months, it's zero. Then now after 6 years, of practicing the CHIP principles that I have learned from them. I'm now leading a 6 days a week physical fitness program just to share what I have learned from CHIP. Every Sunday morning during our physical fitness program, we have now 600 people participating and attending to us regularly. Energetic and healthy people joining us every day, from children up to adults, especially men. Coming from my heart, I owe it from CHIP. I love CHIP. I'm endorsing CHIP. And thank you very much, CHIP program.
This is one of the many CHIP programs in the Philippines. This is a worldwide movement there. This man was condemned to die. You heard the story. 6 years later, he's still doing, leading out in an excess program. Imagine what we could do as a church family. We could bring people into a closer relationship with us. We could love these people. We could help them. We could model for them. But first, we have to walk the walk. May God bless you in a new commitment to working his lifestyle. Thank you.